Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings. And I hope you didn't listen to Dinner to Go yesterday.
Dang it.
Big Ben Bennett told us the Boston Celtics were not only going to win, but cover that number, win comfortably, and we'd get a Game 7 on Sunday night. It's not what happened. So the Golden State Warriors are your NBA champions for the fourth time in 8 years. Steph Curry's got his first Finals MVP. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. At 4:20, normally have Dan Wolk in National Columnist USA Today. Bennett just informed me moments ago that we're not going to have Dan Wolk in today. Had a cancellation. I hope it's nothing. Hope there's nothing.
No, I think it's work-related.
I hope it's work-related. So we don't have Dan Wolk at 4:20. We'll just continue the Warriors, NBA, Klay Thompson conversation into the second segment. Finish that, take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, round two of the U.S. Open remains underway at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. I'll get you updated on the leaderboard around 4:44. Longtime Davidson coach Bob McKillop announced his retirement today, best known as Steph Curry's college coach, but he was and is a lot more than that. I'll spend a few minutes on that story just before 5 o'clock. Meantime, Davidson has also announced it will retire Steph Curry's jersey during the upcoming season, so that's a nice honor for somebody who's having a great week. Get into that a little later on this hour. And former NASCAR driver Clint Bowyer struck and killed a pedestrian earlier this month. It was reported earlier today. Not his fault, but still a tragic deal. I'll give you the details during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins is just like always. Then I will eventually do Dinner to Go and get on out of here.
What?
Without doing.
Oh!
A Dateline preview.
What's happening?
We don't have a traditional Dateline tonight.
Oh, dude, I can't stand these.
It's being replaced by Savannah Guthrie's interview with Amber Heard.
Well, that'll rate for him.
Amber Heard's wild. Amber Heard is something else.
Yeah. I might watch it, though.
I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
I feel like I've already seen all the clips. You see, she implied she thought Johnny Depp tricked the jury, right?
Yep.
Such a great actor, fantastic actor. He tricked the jury. And Savannah Guthrie's like, you think tricked the jury? Really? You think he tricked the jury? And she said, oh, the man who tricked the world into thinking he had scissors for hands? And I'm like, what?
Fair point.
Except he didn't trick the world into thinking he had scissors for hands. Nobody watched Edward Scissorhands and was like, How wild is it that Johnny Depp has scissors for hands? He just played a part where the character had scissors for hands. He didn't trick. Nobody was walking out of the theater like, Johnny Depp's got scissors for hands. This is crazy. Like that. Tom Cruise didn't trick the world in thinking he's a fighter jet pilot. He just played a fighter jet pilot.
Well, in fairness, I think he really might think he's a fighter jet pilot. But
I mean, he might have tricked himself into thinking that.
Yeah.
That Amber Heard, she's always saying something, you know?
Yeah.
So she's in Dateline's slot tonight, and hopefully next week we'll get back to a murder case.
I hope so.
Fingers crossed. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA because we have now officially, it's the offseason. We've reached the offseason. That's because Golden State ended the season last night with a victory in Boston. Final score, Warriors 103, Celtics 90. Big Bet Bennett predicted that Boston would win comfortably. What he meant to say is that Golden State would win comfortably. That's what you meant, right?
I guess. What's wrong? I mean, the Celtics, I mean, listen, I just got to call it like it is. They have no heart.
Where's your heart at?
They have no heart.
Where's your heart?
Dude, that was embarrassing. 90 points at home in a closeout game.
Steph already pointing at his ring finger in the third quarter.
Yeah, the game's still like, they could have easily came back and won that game, and he knows.
He knows.
In the third.
He knows these guys,
these guys got
no heart. They don't have championship pedigree. That's what Steph Curry knew.
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Game was pretty boring. Golden State led by as many as 22 points at one point, up 15 at the half. Boston never got closer than 9 points the rest of the way, and the Warriors end up winning it by 13. Steph Curry, he was the star, finished 34 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Andrew Wiggins added 18 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. Draymond Green got 12 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 assists shy of a triple-double. So they were all good in their own ways. On the other side, Jason Tatum was just bad again. Took 18 shots, missed 12 of them, finished with 13 points and 5 turnovers. In the finals, he ended up shooting 44 of 120 from the field. He averaged 21.5 points on 36.7% shooting and also averaged 3.8 turnovers per finals game, and in the process became the first player in NBA history to finish with 100 turnovers in a single postseason.
Yikes.
On the bright side, he also became the youngest player, let's be fair, became the youngest player in NBA history to get 600 points, 100 rebounds, and 100 steals in a single postseason. And he's just the third player in NBA history to get at least 600 points, 150 rebounds, and 125 assists in a single postseason. The only others, LeBron James, Larry Bird. So if you want to focus on the good, Jason Tatum did just lead a team to the finals at the age of 24. That's great. But the tape doesn't lie. Wiggs mostly locked him up in the finals, really frustrated him.
Yep.
And his poor performances, Jason Tatum's, were the biggest reason why Golden State came from 2-1 down to win the series in 6 games. After Boston went up 2-1, Golden State won 3 straight by double digits. So that's now 4 championships in 8 seasons for the Warriors, and would probably be at least 5-8 if not for Kevin Durant getting hurt in 2019. It is a dynasty, undeniably, and Steph Curry is obviously the centerpiece of it. Future Hall of Famer got emotional after the win.
Yeah, a bit of an ugly crier. I thought
a little bit of an ugly crier.
Yeah, a little bit of an ugly crier. When I saw that, I was taken aback.
Steph was crying. Aisha
was very emotional. Yep.
I think mom and dad were a little emotional.
I'm glad mom and dad were able to put aside their differences and come together in that moment too. That was nice.
Well, they just had to sit apart from each other, you know.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't have to do much.
Yeah, just put one of them in section B and the other one in section K.
They were cordial though in the post game celebration and everything. Yeah,
as they should be.
Of course,
it's not about them in that moment. It's about their son. Put the kids first. He said, Steph did, that this one hit different, and I understand what he means because I don't think many people have questioned Steph's greatness. Like, I think everybody, even before last night, before this season, has acknowledged he's an all-time great.
For sure.
A generational talent. The greatest shooter of all time. Someone who literally changed the game the way that it is played. Or at least contributed to it. So I don't think there were many people questioning Steph's greatness or accomplishments. But there has been some chirping from some. would have never won the first title if Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving don't get hurt. Like, that was a thing he had to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Could have never won the other two without Kevin Durant. That's a thing he had to hear. And, of course, had never been a finals MVP, which is a thing he had to hear. But as Steph said last night, after acknowledging he hears those things, he said, what are they going to say now? What can you say now? And the answer is really nothing. Because the resume is now free of flaws.
Yeah. And, like, when you're watching that first half last night and he just starts bombing from three, like, and Boston's just shell-shocked. Like, that was one of those moments when it was like, okay, like, this dude has put his stamp. He's going to be finals MVP if they win this game. There's no doubt about it now. And he just, I really felt like that first half performance last night from him, it was, there was no doubt in my mind, this dude is one of the all-time greats.
Well, that championship pedigree stuff, like, I do think that's a real thing.
Yeah, I do too.
That they know how to win. They're comfortable in situations. They go down 12 on the road in the first quarter. That's the other thing. The game got boring in the second half. Boston was up 12, just like that.
Right.
And they weathered that and got it back to a manageable number by the end of the first quarter. And even Steve Kerr, when he did, you know, that end of the first quarter interview, beginning of the second quarter interview, was like, we got through that. You know, they threw a punch at us.
Yep.
And we, a different team might get put away. You're on the road, hostile environment. You've got the cushion of a game seven if you need it. You're down 12. That could have got bad. But because this is Boston and Golden State, it just didn't get bad. Golden State took the punch back, and it was and then, you know, everything is fine mm-hmm. after the first quarter. So Steph goes on to have another great game, win this first finals MVP, and now, like I said, the resume is pretty much free of flaws. Four-time NBA champion, two-time MVP, one-time finals MVP, eight-time All-NBA, eight-time NBA All-Star, two-time scoring champ, one of only nine players to ever have a 50-40-90 season, which is, of course, for a season, 50% from the field, 40% from three, at least 90% from the free throw line. Only nine players in history of the sport have ever done that. And Steph Curry is one of them. All-time three-point leader, NBA history. Franchise leader, Golden State, points and assists, and obviously three-pointers. And first player ever with 500 threes in the playoffs. And he's done all this. He's only 34 years old. Like, he's got high-level years left in him.
Yeah.
And the Warriors are right now the betting favorite to win the 2023 NBA title as well. You think Steph gets a fifth title? He's got four now. You think he gets a fifth?
Yeah, I don't know if it's next season, but yeah, I think he gets a fifth. Yes.
I think they can.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is even if it doesn't work out again with the team as it's set up, like, Bob Myers has proved he's a good GM. Like, they will retool that thing around him at some point to be able to make it happen again.
Bob Myers, a Denali customer.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Dude, I walked downstairs one day. Kelly's on the phone with Bob Myers doing a order.
That's pretty awesome. Well, we got to get the Currys in on this, too.
The Currys are not yet.
Could you imagine a Currys endorsement for Aiden Denali? My goodness.
It couldn't hurt. You know?
Be incredible.
It couldn't hurt. Bob Myers, Aiden Denali customer. That's a
nice
fact. That's a fact. I think Steph does get to five.
I do, too.
Because everybody focuses on Draymond's not the same player he used to be. Klay's not the same player he used to be. Steph's not the same, but, like, he can still take over a game and lead a team to an NBA title. He just did it. But the other end of that roster, like, this isn't a bunch of old guys. Jordan Poole is young. You got to think he gets better. Andrew Wiggins is only 27 years old and playing the best basketball of his life. Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is going to be good. He's only 19 years old. And I'm not promising you they're ever going to get anything out of James Wiseman. But what if they do get something out of James Wiseman?
Right. It couldn't hurt.
I mean, he was a guy picked second in the draft.
Course, that's right.
So a still great Steph with a still usable Draymond and a still usable Klay with a in-his-prime Andrew Wiggins, getting better, Jordan Poole getting better, Jonathan Kuminga, James Wiseman gives you something. I'm not sure that can't win titles.
Yeah, I think it easily could. Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens elsewhere around the league. What does KD, Kyrie, Ben Simmons look like if all healthy and on the court together? Kawhi and Paul George healthy after taking a lot of time off, especially Kawhi. You know, what does that look like with the Clippers? You know, the Bucks are still a factor. The Celtics will be a factor. The Grizzlies will be a factor. But I think if I had to bet right now, I might bet that Steph gets at least one more title. And depending on how those young guys develop and how long he can maintain this level of play, like matching Michael Jordan with six, I don't think is completely off the table. Mm. He will lose some of his ability to get by people. He already has a little bit. But that shooting doesn't go away.
It's true.
The shooting will be there. And he'll be able to use ball screens to get open shots for at least, I would think, 3, 4, 5 more years. I think he's going to play deep into his 30s and still be a really good player deep into his 30s. So that's what happened on the court last night. And then, of course, post-game interviews got interesting. Klay Thompson, out of nowhere, took a shot at Jaren Jackson Jr. Not by name, but it wasn't hard to figure out who he was talking about. Called him a friggin' bum. We'll get into that part of the story right after this break. You listen to Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces of sobriety, like what? Super thuggers dumping on a cut. What? Wave a ton, hit the drum till you hear it go ba-dum-ba-bum-bum. Run. Piety just really isn't us. What a rush. See you cutting up a pie, that's my lunch. Run, yo.
pockets when I come. It's an honor to be robbed by Denise's only son. Yeah, give her any baby boy, bitty, moving extra heavy, whipping Chevy. Gotta get it, eat spaghetti with the monster. Vegan, feed them, cause they don't eat no steak and lobster.
So the Warriors beat the Celtics in game six last night up at TD Garden. 103-90 final score. That's four rings in 8 years for Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, all of whom spoke to the media after the game, first on TV and then in a more traditional press conference. And Klay Thompson was talking the way Klay Thompson does, and then something popped into his head about something Jaren Jackson Jr. tweeted during the regular season, and then the press conference took an interesting turn.
I can't wait. There was this one player on the Grizzlies who tweeted strength in numbers after they beat us in the regular season, and it pissed me off so much. I can't wait to retweet that thing. Freaking bum. That I had to watch that. I'm just like, this freaking clown. Okay. Sorry. That memory just popped up. You're going to mock us? Like, you ain't ever been there before, bro. We've been there. We know what it takes. So to be here again, hold that.
Freaking bum, freaking clown.
Hold that.
Freaking bum, freaking clown.
Yeah, I like hold that, by the way. First, that's a good way to end that, but yeah.
First, how do we feel about the word freaking?
I mean, I think at that point, he's so mad. I mean, I think at that point, you just got to drop the F-bomb.
I think at that point, you got to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah. He's so mad. Like, go ahead.
I don't like freaking. I don't like that word.
Nah.
It sounds like you're doing an impersonation of somebody, you know?
Yep.
Like, freaking, I would never use that word. I'm either going to use the word or I'm just going to leave that part out. I just call somebody a clown or bum, not a freaking clown or a freaking bum. I call them an effing clown or an effing bum, but I'm not going to use the word freaking.
No.
I'm anti the word freaking. And I hear people use it all the time on radio because it's... Because
you can't say the F word.
Yeah, but I hate freaking. I just wouldn't use it. I would just choose not to use... I can't say F word. I just won't use any version of it. I hate the word frickin'. So when I listened to that last night, more accurately this morning, I was asleep. I think I was asleep when this happened. But when I saw it this morning, first thing that stood out to me is I wouldn't have used frickin'. Hate that word. But then, whoa boy, you Jaren Jackson Jr., who knows what he was doing on a Thursday night? And next thing you know, you're in the crosshairs of Klay Thompson, four-time world champion. Was Klay out of line? Or, you know what, Jaren Jackson Jr., if you go mock the champs, then you better be ready for a return of serve.
No, Klay wasn't out of line. I want to start by saying that I told you this like earlier this season. Like, there was once upon a time when I couldn't stand Klay Thompson. There was like I won't even get into it. I just like was around him in a media scrum one time, and he was a jerk. And like, this was early, this is before they won their first ring. And I never liked him.
You hate Klay Thompson.
And then he went through all this adversity and he had the two injuries. And so you kind of root for the guy. Like, it's just like, it's human nature. I mean, he went through all this and now he's back and he's got a ring. And so you're kind of rooting for the guy. I'm back to, I can't stand the dude.
You hate Klay Thompson again.
He's a jerk. I can't stand him. That being said, he has every right to go at Jaren. Like, listen, we pride ourselves as Grizzlies fans on being one of the best trash talking teams in the league. So you got to take it when they win the title and they beat you in the playoffs. You just got to take it and hopefully the Grizzlies have an answer next season.
I think you got to hold that to put it in Klay Thompson's.
You got to hold it. Yeah.
Terminology. Yeah, I saw some Grizzlies fans like really bothered by this. And to those people, I would just say, As a 5-year-old might say, Jaren Jackson Jr. started it.
you can't have it both ways. Like, again, like all season, we have prided ourselves on being one of the most talking teams in the league. As we've seen it all year long,
yeah,
on like, social media and on the court. So, and they backed it up a lot of times.
This is the best way to figure out whether you're being irrationally sided in one direction or not. Just flip the circumstances around. You can do this with sports. You can do it with politics. You can do it with any number of things. Now, we don't, as a people, do it too often with sports and politics. We pick our sides and then we we make our arguments.
Yeah.
Tied to the side that we want to be on the right side of things, even if our arguments often contradict each other. I try personally to not do this. I'm sure I've failed at some point, but other people do it all the time. And the most obvious place is politics, right?
Yeah.
You'll see folks retweeting videos making fun of Joe Biden stumbling through a speech. But those exact same people would never have tweeted a video of Donald Trump stumbling through a speech. And vice versa.
Right.
You had people, you know, tweeting videos of Donald Trump standing up, mumbling like an idiot, saying ridiculous things, that often incoherent. But then they won't tweet the exact same video if it happened to be Joe Biden doing it. I try to stay out of all of it. But, again, I'm not pretending I've never failed. I'm just aware of that being a thing, and I try not to participate in it. Like, if I think something's right, I think it's right no matter... I try to think it's right no matter who is saying it. And if I think something's wrong, I try to believe it's wrong no matter who is saying it. And so, as it pertains to this specific thing, just if you're a Grizzlies fan who thinks Klay Thompson was way out of line, how would you feel if it was completely flipped around? In other words, back during the regular season, if the Warriors would have beaten the Grizzlies. And after the game, Klay Thompson would have tweeted, "Next gen? Question mark? Ha 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 ha. All right? Some version of what Jaren Jackson Jr. did to the Warriors, which is mock them after a Grizzlies victory. That's what he was doing. He was mocking the Warriors after a victory. Now, if Golden State would have won that game, and after that game, Klay Thompson tweeted, "Next gen? Question mark? Ha ha ha. We still here." Something like, whatever. Something to mock a Grizzlies slogan. And then fast forward, and they meet in the playoffs. And then the Grizzlies beat the Warriors, eliminate them, and then beat the Mavericks, eliminate them, and then beat the Celtics in six games to hold up an NBA title. If Jaren Jackson Jr. Last night was holding a championship trophy, wearing a championship hat, and was talking about whatever he was talking about, and then said, "Oh, by the way, there's a tweet from a Warriors player. Pissed me off so bad back during the regular season. They beat us regular season." And then he tweeted, "Next gen question mark, ha ha ha." Freaking bum. Freaking clown. You ain't that. Who's holding the title now? What would you have thought about that?
If you're I would have ate that up.
You would have all loved it.
I would have loved it.
You would have all loved
That's
it.
Why I can't be mad at that. Like, again, I say all this to say, like, can't stand Klay Thompson, hate the Warriors. Like, this is turning into a rivalry. But at the same time, like, the shoes are flipped. Dude, I want all of that. I want that this exact same scenario to happen, but it be the Grizzlies next time.
So I'm not going to sit there. I would never. But I hope other people wouldn't either. Perhaps the way I just put it crystallized that for somebody. Maybe not, but hopefully. I'm not going to sit here and be mad at Klay Thompson for taking a shot at Jaren Jackson Jr. last night, because I wouldn't have been mad at Jaren Jackson Jr. if he did the exact same thing under similar circumstances to Klay Thompson. I do take issue with the word bum. I think that's the wrong word.
Because he's not a bum. He's a great player.
He's certainly not a bum.
He's a good player.
With a chance to be great.
Yes.
Definitely not a bum. Could you reasonably say clown? I guess, if you wanted to. Clown can mean a lot of different things. Just somebody clowning on Twitter. Oh, you clowning on Twitter. Clown, fine. Bum seemed a little too far. He's not a bum.
No.
So I wouldn't have used bum, but I think clown is fair game. If the point you're trying to make is he was clowning on Twitter, you can call him a clown. But if the roles would have been reversed, Grizzlies fans would have been loving Jaren Jackson Jr. last night after he said that. And so if you'll accept that that is true, then you can, I think, stop short of thinking Klay Thompson was too far out of line. Either way, I do think it's interesting that the little old Grizzlies.
That's what popped into his head.
Popped into his head after he won a title.
Yeah.
And it comes after Dylan Brooks said, some version of after the Warriors-Grizzlies series, they know we're coming every year. They're getting older. We're not. I mean, everybody's getting older, but we're not getting old. They're getting older, pushing up against the label of old.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting older, but older in a good way, into our primes. And they know we're coming every year. And I'll be honest, I didn't remember Jaren Jackson Jr.'s tweet.
Me either.
But Klay Thompson did. And so it's always interesting to me the things that stick with people and motivate people. And I think Klay, the way he framed it last night, was possibly slightly insincere. Because the way he brought it up is to say, oh, this just popped into my head.
No.
I don't think it popped into his head. I think it's been in his head. I think it's been in his head. And we all carry that kind of stuff around with us. We don't all have a microphone in front of us to spit it out all the time. But people carry things around with them. There is somebody thinking about you right now who you're not thinking about at all. You know that? There's somebody thinking about you right now who you don't think about at all. And you probably think about somebody in some way, something they said, something they did, a little more than maybe you should, and they don't think about you at all.
Right.
Everybody has those dynamics. And what we know after last night is whether Jaren Jackson Jr. was carrying around that tweet in his head, I couldn't say for sure. But Klay Thompson was carrying it around with him. And the way he expressed that last night and took a direct... You don't hear NBA players call other NBA players bums too often.
No, no. And that's why I'm here for it. Like, I want to see... I want the hate back in the NBA. I want like, a rivalry. You know? Hated rivalry. Like, we used to have with the Clippers once upon a time. I want that back.
Could you argue right now that the Golden State Warriors are the king of the NBA once again... And their biggest rival is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, because it was the most contentious series they played in the playoffs.
Nobody pushed them harder than the Grizz did. That's true.
Nobody pushed them harder than the Grizz, and there was way more trash talking between them and the Grizzlies than them and any other team they played in the playoffs.
And so that's kind of a neat thing.
I like it.
Like, I had an ESPN on earlier today, and Jay Williams was on, and he said, I cannot wait for Memphis Golden State next season. And went on to say, this is going to be one of the best rivalries in the NBA going forward. And so to think of little old Memphis, Tennessee, being a rival, perhaps the rival, of the biggest show in the NBA, your reigning world champions, like, that's a fun thing.
Yeah.
So if this escalates it to that, then yeah, I'm here for it. Jaren Jackson Jr., his tweet has not been retweeted yet by Klay Thompson. Klay promised last night to retweet it. Said he couldn't wait to do it. Clearly, he's had ample time by now, so perhaps he's rethought that.
I don't think Jaren said much either, has he?
I did not see anything from Jaren.
I saw Josh said he's got a lot of real estate.
Yeah. Josh would be the one
right
to stand up and say something. If you asked me last night, who's going to be the first one to fire back? Yeah, probably John Morant. But yeah, can't wait.
I'm ready for it. That's going to be one of the most anticipated games, like, early on next season. Like, whenever they play them, that's going to be one of the more anticipated games in the regular season to start off.
Give it to me on Christmas Day.
Let's go.
Why wouldn't you do Grizzlies, Warriors on Christmas Day? Unless, of course, you do Warriors Celtics or Warriors Lakers or something like that. But Warriors Grizzlies makes a lot of sense Christmas Day to me.
Makes a lot of sense. Yep, it does.
Let's book it.
Let's do it.
We come back round two of the U.S. Open. Remains underway. I'll get you caught up on the leaderboard next. You listen to Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You're the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel investor.
Yeah.
Price went up. Angel investor.
Jeff Calkins, award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock like he does every single day. But right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories at 444 is presented by Boom City Fireworks.
4 notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 444. Story number 1.
Round 2, U.S. Open going on at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. And we've got the leaders sitting at 4 under. It's Hayden Buckley, Joel Damon, and Colin Morikawa.
Okay, I know Colin Morikawa.
That would be the only one I would assume you would know. Hayden Buckley, kind of an interesting story. He has never won on the PGA Tour and had to win a 5-man playoff in a qualifier just to get into the U.S. Open. And now he is in the clubhouse, shot 2 under 68 yesterday, 2 under 68 today. He's in the clubhouse at 4 under in a 3-way tie for first with Colin Morikawa and Joel Damon. After that, at 3 under, you've got 4 different golfers, including world number 1, Scottie Scheffler. By the way, did you see him mess up on this chip earlier today?
No, what happened?
He looked like it's what you need to watch these types of things. Like what happened to Rory yesterday, and what happened to Scottie Scheffler today, because when any weekend golfer does what Scottie Scheffler did this morning, you want to throw your club on the course.
Right.
And then you have to remind yourself, the number 1 ranked golfer in the entire world does this kind of stuff sometimes, although it is very, very rare to see this. He didn't even have a bad – like yesterday and even today, again, Rory was in this ridiculous rough, and he just can't get it out of it. Like, Rory couldn't get the ball out of the rough 2 days in a row. Once just put it in a bunker, and today, like, the ball went nowhere. So that's a little different, right? But this was Scottie Scheffler, like, just short of the green, like, on the fairway, like, clean lie. He just got to chip it up on the green. Like, these guys are supposed to put that within 3 feet. And he just duffed it. He just, like, hit it 7 feet in front of him. Like somebody like me has done a million times. But, like, you're not supposed to do that if you're Scottie Scheffler. So he recovered, ended up shooting 3 under, 67. So he's at 3 under, for the tournament. John Rahm also at 3-under. Roy McIlroy also at 3-under. So you do have some big names lurking. Most notably, Colin Morikawa, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Roy McIlroy. Sam Burns is at 2-under. Xander Schauffele, 1-under. Brooks Koepka, after going 3-over yesterday, shot a 67 today to get back to even par for the tournament. So he's still in contention. Adam Scott at even, Hideki Matsuyama at even, Justin Thomas 1-under, 1-over, Dustin Johnson 1-over, Patrick Reed 1-over, Will Zalatoris 1-over. So you've got some heavy hitters within 4-5 shots of the leaders. So it's shaping up to be a nice weekend. It'll be a fun weekend of golf up there at the country club.
Story number two.
Bob McKillop, Davidson head coach, announced his retirement today after 33 seasons as coach of the Wildcats. Most notably, Coach Steph Curry in college.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows that. But, like, that's always in the introduction of Bob McKillop. And coached future Hall of Famer Steph Curry in college. Like, I've had to introduce Bob McKillop at an Atlantic 10 event, and you almost can't do it without mentioning Steph Curry. But it also minimizes, discounts a little bit of what he is, because what he is one of the great basketball coaches we've had in college, certainly, you know, in my lifetime. Won more than 600 games. Took little old Davidson to the Elite Eight, has consistently, you know, competed for NCAA tournament appearances, despite coaching at one of the smallest schools, you know, at the Division I level. And I tweeted this earlier today. I don't know that you'll find anybody more respected within the industry. Like, great coach, great man. If you were to just take that to other college basketball coaches and say, we're combining great coach, great man. Not great coach, not the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or greatest guy, but couldn't coach anything. But who's the best combination of great man, great coach? Bob McKillop, I think, would get as many votes as anybody else. Tony Bennett would get votes at Virginia. Jay Wright would have gotten votes at Villanova. But Bob McKillop would have probably got as many votes as anybody. One of my favorite guys, getting to know him over the years has been a real thrill. College basketball is less without him. And I've told this story in a meeting. I went down to speak to Florida a few years ago to Atlantic 10 coaches at their spring meetings. And, you know, obviously Bob was in the room. And I can't remember what brought it up, but it seemed like an appropriate story at the time. So I sort of looked at Bob and was like, because I knew he would know what I'm referencing. But I was like, I got a phone call from Bob after I wrote something. I think I was trying to tell these coaches, like, listen, all of you have my number. And if there's ever anything you hear me say that you think I'm out of line, or you see me write or tweet that you think's unfair, I'm not hiding from that. I have never hid from that. So please don't hesitate to reach out. And I sort of looked at Bob and I was like, if Bob wouldn't mind, you know, I could tell a story about this. And he nodded in agreement. And I had forgotten what the column was, but I went back and found it today because I knew what it was kind of about and I thought I could find it. And it was a column from October 2017. This is right after the FBI cases break, as it pertains to college basketball. And I'd written a column about how typically the worst thing you can be in college basketball is a losing coach. That's how you end up on these hot seat lists. You lose too much. Cheating coach? Not the worst thing. Losing coach? Worst thing. But this FBI case, at least in October 2017, with the benefit of hindsight, maybe not, but in October 2017, it looked like, oh boy, this is really going to rock the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that are going to be on the hot seat this year, it ain't necessarily going to be the coaches who don't win a lot. It's going to be the coaches who are caught on wiretaps and who just had assistant coaches arrested facing felony charges. So guys like Sean Miller, Will Wade, you know, Andy Enfield, you know, Bruce Pearl. You know, I know it doesn't seem that way now, but like Bruce Pearl's job was seemed to be very much up in the air.
Oh yeah.
And so I wrote a column about that, and this is the way I ended the column. In normal times, losing is the worst thing a coach can do, but these are not normal times, which is why the losing guys might be okay, because it's the corner-cutting winners whose seats seem hottest. And I wrote it, didn't think anything of it. And phone rings that night, and it's Bob McKillop. I'm like, oh, sometimes your phone rings in this profession and you know what's coming. But this one, I genuinely had no idea. And I'm like, Bob. And he was great. He said, hey, can I just talk to you? You know, after the normal introductory pleasure, how you doing? How's the family? That kind of stuff. How you enjoying the off season? Played any good golf lately? That kind of stuff. He said, hey, well, listen, just read your column. And could I just add something and have it not come across the wrong way? And I said, of course. And he said, I'm not a newspaper editor or a column editor. I've never been. But in that next to last line, which is why the losing guys might be okay, is it possible to change that to something else? Because I feel like what you're doing there is any of these coaches who are on the hot seat for losing, you're calling them losers. And these guys aren't losers. They're out there doing the best they can. And we're finding out because of the FBI why some of them haven't won as much as the other guys. And often it's because they're not cheating the way the other guys were. And he's like, I read it and it stood out to me. And I was compelled to call. And I couldn't thank him more because I had that perspective didn't occur to me. I didn't feel like I was calling coaches losers as much as I was making note of the guys who lose too much. They're not the ones who need to be worried right now. It's these other guys that have been cutting the corners that need to be worried right now. That's the point I was trying to make. But he read it differently. And if you go back and read it now, what it says is, which is why the do it right guys might be okay. Because it's the corner cutting winners whose seats seem hottest. And I always appreciate him making that phone call because I don't care how long you've been writing columns or talking on radio or television or podcast or anywhere else. Sometimes you just don't see the way or understand the way that might come across to somebody else. Like you genuinely have a blind spot for that where you can say, oh, wow, I didn't think you would read it that way. It didn't occur to me that anybody would read it that way. But now that you point it out kindly and professionally and gently, I can absolutely see that. And you're right. I should fix that. Thank you. And that's the type of guy I was. I could have written a column that said, and I would have never done this because I never believed it, but I could have written a column criticizing Bob McKillop about wins and losses post Steph Curry, and he wouldn't have been bothered by that as long as it was rooted in fact, which if I ever wrote it, it would have been. But he was bothered that I was implying some of his colleagues were losers, and he didn't like that. And perhaps that's a story without much of a point, but I think it underlines who he is. He's somebody who genuinely cared about the sport, the direction of it, and the people involved in it. And again, if I were listing, you know, give me a list of 10 guys that you really enjoyed getting to know since your job became dedicated to college basketball, I really do think Bob McKillop would be on that list. He is known as Steph Curry's coach, but he's a lot more than that. Brilliant offensive mind, really great coach, and just an awesome, awesome guy. I've never heard anybody say a bad word about Bob McKillop. And I had somebody tweet me today and ask, well, why did he never take a bigger job?
I was wondering the same thing.
He was offered bigger jobs. I think he got, I think most of the bigger job offers came after Steph and that whole thing. And then I think he just got comfortable where he was and was like, I really like it here. This is where I need to be. And they had a succession plan in place for his son.
Okay.
And so his son will now be the head coach at Davidson. And I think
it's not a bad league either that that school's in.
Yeah, it's the Atlantic 10.
Right.
I mean, it's a real league.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the ACC, but it's a real league. And that he was able. Now, they weren't in the A-10 when Steph was there.
Like, right.
You know, that came later. But it's in a real league, and it's a beautiful campus and, a great school. And I think he just got comfortable there. By the time the big job offer started coming, I don't think anything seemed more perfect for him, to him, than the spot he already had right there at Davidson. He's a legend there, and just one of the great guys in the sport.
Story number three.
Davidson also announced today that they will retire Steph Curry's number at a ceremony at the school in August.
I'm surprised they haven't already done this.
Do you know why they haven't?
Why?
They have a rule that you can't have your jersey retired unless you graduated.
Oh, yeah, and he recently did. Yep. That's right. Okay.
Which, by the way, is a ridiculous rule.
That is stupid. Come on.
Because, like, congrats to Steph for going back and getting his degree. But if we're being honest, why?
No.
Why does Steph Curry need a college degree?
No, come on. He's like your most famous alum ever. You got to do it.
No, I mean just practically speaking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why does Steph Curry need a college degree?
No.
So if you put in a rule that says he has to have a college degree or we can't retire his number, and Steph Curry says, well, I'm not going back to school. I got kids and a wife, and I'm playing 82-game seasons and then playoffs that drift, and what, I'm going to take online classes in my free? No, it's not the way I'm spending my time, you know, writing papers about Shakespeare or whatever, which would be what I would do. Then he can never have his jersey retired according to your school rules? I think that's crazy.
I do, too.
So if I were running a school, and boy, wouldn't that be something if I were running a school, but if I were running a school, I would not have any rules like that. Because if I were Steph Curry, I would have never gone back to college. I have more money than I'll ever know what to do with. I live on the opposite coast of my college.
Right.
I have a wife and kids and short off seasons because of how deep we play into the playoffs. And so I'm not going to spend any time doing work that will contribute to my profession in no real practical way. Just so I can say I'm a college graduate. I don't need to be a college graduate. LeBron James is not a college graduate. He's a billionaire.
Right.
So.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.